Welcome to part two of our conversation with Joe Vitale about Journey to Conjuring.
A lot of people I know have found interesting evidence in that house. What did you guys walk away with as what you would consider to be your best piece of your 2 days there?
So in the trailer, I really don't want to say what the best piece is. I don't want to spoil that. But the rocking chair, it rocked on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely went to see if we could make the rocking chair rock just by walking around it. I mean, you got a whole bunch of guys like jumping up and down on these wooden floors trying to get this chair to move. And it just was not happening. And the nice thing too is we had, the house has a DVR system, a 16-channel DVR system. We were able to go back and see how close Bill was to the rocking chair. And when we looked, we're like, there's no way that was you. And even going back up there to debunk it, it was like, there's no way. How did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
I will say that I had experienced something and conveniently a camera went down.
Mm-hmm.
It glitched. So I have no way of backing up what I experienced.
What did you experience that wasn't caught on camera?
I thought it was one of the other guys in a room, either setting something up. I've seen somebody, they were kind of like bent over, it looked like they were doing something, and I'm like, oh, at first I thought that was Matt.
You're thinking nothing paranormal. Like, you're just thinking there's one of the guys doing something.
Right. Well, then I hear Matt in the other room, like, well, maybe that was Eric.
Yeah.
And then here the three guys are, they're in the kitchen. I'm like, wait a minute. What happened? Like, who was in there? Like nobody, and I know what I see. So we quickly, you know, we did an EVP session. I do believe we captured the EVP at that moment. Then we realized the cameras. We can check the DVR cameras. So we went to look at the cameras, and the camera glitched. It froze. Just that one camera. Like as soon as I walked in, like as soon as I opened that door.
Mm-hmm.
That camera glitched out. So there's no proof of what I see other than, you know, my story.
Sure.
So
it would also require you to like glitch the camera out as well. it's one of those things where it's like, and the camera glitched. And I mean, none of you did that. You know, it's like, why did this happen? Obviously, it alludes to that these things have more control over our own equipment and things of that nature than we'd like them to have. And ultimately, they will have the final say on if they will be seen or not. Let me ask you this. The question is to you, and it's also to what the others that were involved in that investigation made of that house. Did you walk away from it with a positive feeling? Did you, and not in terms of, yay, I got evidence, but more in terms of, here's how I emotionally felt in the house. Was it a positive? Was it a negative? Was there a bit of both? What was it for you, and what did the others describe?
Walking away from it, it was certainly a positive experience. Now, I got to investigate, you know, with friends, and it was a lot of fun. Not at one time did I feel threatened or uncomfortable. Matt had an experience. I can't talk about that experience. But we left confused. Do we believe there may be something dark there? Now, I'm not talking about a demonic entity or anything like that. Just something dark there.
Mm-hmm.
I do. There was a lot of mocking and things like that going on. But really did, like, why was this happening? Why why was this going on when we weren't around one another? Or if we're huddled in together as a group, only one person would hear something, but listening back, it's audible. We can hear it, but only that one person at that time was able to hear it. So it's very bizarre. So yeah, we walked away from that, you know, excited, positive, but at the same time, like, basically, what the hell was that? And I would love to go back.
Sure.
And, you know, for anybody who's thinking about, you know, going there and investigating, do it. It is a really cool place.
Do you think you walk away from it so confused in terms of how you emotionally feel what's there? You know, is this kind of all over the board? Is it because there's multiple things there? Or is it one heavy entity that's able to be confusing to multiple people at one time? I mean, what's your thoughts there?
My opinion is there is one dominant entity there that I do consider dark. I'm, again, not saying demonic or anything like that. It could just be a really pissed off human spirit, but it seems like it's just this main entity that basically has control. If there are human spirits there, it likely has some sort of control over them. That's a really hard question to answer. We were there for 2 days, you know, we were filming and just running and running and running. And unfortunately, when you do that, you don't really have time to sit back and really process everything until you're done. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of days later, you're thinking about it. And you're just like, what was that?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah. It's one of those things where you, until the moment and it's over, you really, you're like always, your brain is constantly having to turn its wheels to what's going on in the now. And it doesn't have any more wheels to function to kind of review anything or put it into perspective until after the fact. It's an interesting place. I mean, that's, I've never been there. I've been talking to Andrea about it since The Conjuring came out. She was one of my original guests many, many, many years ago, like right when her books were even just first coming out. And we talked about all the house, and what I found amazing about her story was just how, you know, it was an intense story, you know, and I've interviewed her many times over the years, and it's like we can talk about almost the same story, but you'll get so many different antidotes and so many different perspectives on it than the first time. And it's so interesting. Right. But what I always found very interesting was her love of the house. As creepy as shit as that house was, and those stories, and just like, oh my God, you know, she would say, but we just loved it. It's like it almost like adopted them, and they had no choice in the matter. And that's where I wonder, you know, when you have a property or a house or something that has that ability to almost, I mean, it's like a bad marriage or something, or an abusive, an abusive right. relationship, where like somehow it treats you like shit, but eventually, it gives you enough to make you want to stay or keep coming back or make you feel all that. It's a psychological mind F, and you're just like, that's where I wonder about properties like that. Like, is that infested with a lot of different ghosts that are messing with you, or is that just like one big thing? Probably not a positive thing, that just kind of, you know, it's playing with the people who enter that house as if they were dolls, and it is the big person that's playing with it. That's almost how I kind of look at that house, but that's just my opinion.
I can agree with that, but I also think too, I don't know the parent family personally, but maybe there's just something about them that it was attracted to and wanted to mess with even more.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are like, well, why isn't it haunted like it was? And, you know, they want to get skeptical. They want to question these things, and that's fine. Because I do the same.
Sure.
But it may just come down to who was there. A lot of times I go to places and nothing happens. But yet I can go back to that place with somebody completely different, and it's pretty active.
Sure.
So I think, I mean, you're always taking a risk when you come to a haunted location anyways. Yeah. But I think, you know, having the right people investigating with you can definitely help draw activity.
I completely agree. It's funny because this will now be the second time in a day I've made this analogy, and I've never made this analogy in my life, but it is how I kind of view, if you've ever like had to try and get a radio station in on an old boom box and you had the big antenna up there and, you know, when you really need to get it in, somebody's got to like stand there and hold the antenna because they become part of the antenna and their body is acting as the antenna and it's pulling more in than it otherwise would. You know, but the other method would have used to have been if you couldn't stand there, you'd put a piece of aluminum foil on it. And that would hopefully improve things a bit. I almost view when we're looking at the dead and them coming out to communicate with us, some people are already like aluminum foil and an antenna and a great boombox with great reception, and it's just the top of the line shit. It gets everything in. And then some of us are like, it's got a really good antenna, but you know, this part kind of sucks. And so it picks up on some things and not others. And then I think some people are, it's like you put wax paper on your antenna and thought you were going to get a better signal. That's not how that works. Some of us are the wax paper, and that's all we are. And it's like it can literally hurt the investigation for like them just being there at all. And I think it can also, you have the exact opposite effect with the right thing that can just suddenly draw everything in. And then that's why you'd go back the next time and like, why is this nowhere near like nearly what it was? You know, but it's also in a lot of ways you look at it, it's people. And that's what I think we forget so often is if it's a human spirit, they were people too once, and they're probably still acting the same way as they did when they were alive. Like they're either going to want to socialize with the person who just randomly walked into the room or they won't. And that's a very humanistic, you know, trait for a ghost.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, it's no different than us. I mean, if I walk into a room, there may be somebody where I'm like, I don't know about this guy.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, exactly. And it's one of those things where you look back on it and go, that's, you know, that's what it is. It's people, acting the way, that they are. Before we wrap, up here, I know, you actually are at a haunted location right now doing this interview at the Monroe House. I don't know how long you've been there yet, but how's it going thus far?
So, we're going to be here for 2 days. Right now, we are working on day two.
Okay.
Very quiet at first. We did get some activity. I've been to this location many times. Two of the guys that are with us, Gary Fisher and Brian Huxley, they're from Seaforth Paranormal. This is their first time here. Matt Benton, he's been here multiple times. He spent 3 days here by himself. But it was quiet at first. We got some activity, and then it just kind of bottomed out. But the house is weird. I was actually in this house by myself a couple of hours ago, and it sounded like somebody was walking upstairs. I'm like, cool, whatever. I didn't even bother to go check it out. So I'm like, there's no point because I'm not going to find anything, and there's nobody here.
Mm-hmm.
So I have actually been threatened by something in this house. I'm sure I know other people have too. But I literally, I was with a female investigator. We were here for 2 days. And she had her sister here as well. But we were in the basement and something literally told me, I'm going to kill you. or I will kill you. And I didn't hear that at the time. It wasn't until I listened back, and I wasn't even sure what it was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I listened, and the more I messed with the audio a little bit to actually understand, I was like, oh, wow, just threatened to kill me.
Yeah.
Things do get moved around in the house.
Mm-hmm.
That's happened. We've actually captured a camera being moved. It was a DVR camera, and it moved from the right, and then quite a few seconds later, it went back in almost its original position. We wow. tried to debunk that. We were stepping on the cords. We were kicking the cords. It wasn't budget.
Yeah.
So, allegedly, and I know this lady, but I'm gonna say allegedly. I wasn't there. I've heard the audio. Something was like trying to attack her, or she's like being possessed or something. And the audio is creepy. Like, just listening to it, it's like, oh, man. I don't know what she was experiencing, mm-hmm. but it definitely gave me the chills.
What was it, a whooshing type sound?
No, it was just her screaming.
Okay.
Get off of me.
Okay.
Swear.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
Yeah.
It was,
I was just trying to relate the sound on my other program, Real Ghost Stories Online, years ago. We had a gentleman in Chattanooga, and his name was, he just went by Richard in Chattanooga. And to this day, I have tried to communicate and find him, and it's been kind of the mystery of 8 years on our program. But he had a haunting experience going on at his home. He would recount it for us in a series of calls, and there was one call where he was very stressed out. Things were really kind of falling apart with his family and putting up with all everything that was going on. And what sounded like, the way I would describe it is you're standing and talking on a cordless phone or a cell phone, and you open a patio door. And in fall, and you just kind of hear that whoosh, that sucking of air sound almost. It's temporary, then the environment adjusts and the pressure adjusts and it kind of stops. It was that's what it sounded like. I didn't think anything of it. And we aired the episode, never made a comment on the whooshing sound because we didn't, it didn't even stand out to me as anything that was even on the air. Then I got calls, emails from all over the world with people saying they felt ill after hearing that sound. What the hell was that? And no one had been like cued to all come together at once and send these emails. It was just organic. And then we went back and I've replayed that on the air again, and I have to give like a warning now. But it's amazing sometimes just what the audio of something, how it can actually affect someone listening to it, I guess, is what my long-winded point was.
I'll be fairly close to Chattanooga here real soon. I will be at Hales Bar Dam.
Let me ask you this. The spirits in the Conjuring House, the spirits in really any haunting situation that are now openly investigated, that are now, you know, you can book this place out to go and investigate it. This is just an opinion-based question. But do you think they enjoy this? Do you think they're like, hey, new people? Or would it be torment if you're kind of already in an abandoned house and suddenly you have groups of people coming in every other week, really asking you the same questions over and over in different ways? You know, what do you think they're like? Or does it really just kind of vary house to house or location to location?
I definitely think it does vary. I mean, where we're at right now, the McGrone House, there are times I walk in here and I'm like, yep, I'm not welcome here.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm like somebody seriously wants to hurt me or kill me.
Yeah.
And then being here now day two, it seems very calm. So I think it varies from place to place. I practice this all the time, but people say, oh, we shouldn't be provoking and we shouldn't be doing this and we shouldn't be doing that. I'm like, The second we walked through that door, we may very well be provoking without even saying a word other than our presence being there.
Yeah.
Imagine you're just minding your own business. You're just kicking back and watching TV. And all of a sudden these people come in carrying a whole bunch of equipment and stuff, just throwing it on your table. And you're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
What are you doing here? Why do people keep coming here?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but if somebody comes, being alive, if somebody comes storming into my place and does that, I'm going to be pissed and I'm going to be ready to fight.
Yeah. And that's what I wonder. I mean, in some cases, oh, great, we have visitors. It's been a while. Or I love the peace and quiet. Stay the hell away from me. You know, and that probably is a very individual haunting answer. You know, you probably have some that it's great and others, no, not so much. And that may be where you get some of the, oh, it's demonic. It's like, no, it's just it's an introvert that hates people and thought they had found peace. That wraps up part two of our conversation with Joe Vitale. A big thanks to him for joining us for this edition of The Grave Talks. And thanks to you for supporting the program and keeping us on the air. For all of us here at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.